Hello and welcome to Hey, Remember the 80s? I'm Joe.
And I'm Carrie.
Remember, we're not professional podcasters or music critics. We're just rocking you in our gentle healing hands and talking about 80s music.
Yeah.
Hello, Carrie.
Hey, how are you?
What up? Good. Welcome to you. Welcome to any new listeners or loyal listeners. We found some out in Albuquerque, New Mexico, Owosso, Oklahoma, and Managua, Nicaragua.
Everyone, please keep up with us on Facebook at facebook.com/HRT80S. And if you've joined Blue Sky, find us on there.
I have not.
You're just doom scrolling Twitter every night still.
Don't remind me.
All right, Joe, we have some tidbits.
Great.
We promised that we would keep covering the piano room performances happening on BBC Two. And you particularly wanted to hear Tony Hadley covering Lana Del Rey. So here's a clip of that.
Hot summer nights, mid-July, when you and I were forever wild. Crazy days, city lights, the way you'd play with me like a child. Still love me when I'm no longer young, beautiful.
Now, Joe, is this song from the Great Gatsby soundtrack?
It is, yes.
I have a very tenuous relationship with Lana Del Rey.
Really? Because most people are like, you know, cut and dry.
I enjoy her every time I hear her. There are lots of songs of hers that I like, but just for some reason, I've never latched onto her. I couldn't tell you names of her albums or anything like that. And that's why I was like, I think this is from The Great Gatsby. So what did you think of Tony Hadley doing this?
Well, I could tell you the names of her albums and her songs, and I have been obsessed for a while.
Okay.
It's kind of waned. You know, it just put out like 8 albums in 10 years. Young and Beautiful is not my favorite Lana Del Rey song.
Okay.
I feel like it is a lot of people's favorites. I think a lot of people love it. I was a little bit disappointed when I found out that's what he was covering, but I want to say that I think he sounded great and I enjoyed it.
I don't really have any context for it. Like, I don't know the song well enough to compare it. I thought his voice went well with the song. I wish I was more familiar to make a better critique, but that's all I've got.
I would like to point out the orchestra that plays in the background of these songs. Mm-hmm. They do a great job, and shout out to the woman. I don't know if she was playing the piccolo or what, but when he first sings When I'm No Longer Young and Beautiful, she kind of like gives this look like, okay.
They are fabulous, this orchestra that plays.
I thought he looked great and I thought he sounded great. And I don't have a bad thing to say about it.
I don't either. So there are clips that are on YouTube, but only of certain portions. I think we talked about this last time, but the gimmick is that these people come. They sing 2 of their own songs, I think, and then they sing a cover. The whole segment, if you go to the BBC website, and you can just hear the audio of it, but they only put up certain video portions on YouTube. So I don't know what else Tony Hadley did. I didn't look it up, but I can give you a full report on the Crowded House performance.
Of course,
because
you can.
Yes. I listened to the entire 26-minute segment of Crowded House. It was wonderful. And here's a clip of them performing Oh Hi.
In your head, oh hi, oh hi, it's all right, I won't forget.
Joe, what did you think of the Oh Hi performance?
Of course, it was great. They did a great job. Mm-hmm. They worked really well with the musicians back there. I really enjoyed it a lot.
I think we talked about last time, like that or whatever is going on there is a little bit too much. And however they translated it to the orchestra was just perfect. It gave me shivers. Like, I thought it was so cool. So there's no clip online of them performing 4 Seasons in One Day. So I can't play that for you here, but that was the other song of theirs that they played. It was beautiful. I love that song so much, and it sounded so amazing with the orchestra. their cover was Petula Clark's Downtown. And it was good. I mean, I thought that was a weird choice. I'd love to know if they get to choose or if they, you know,
maybe
told.
They have a list?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, when you teased they were singing a song by Petula Clark, I thought, well, it has to be Downtown. Mm-hmm. I don't know any other songs. So that's not a surprise. But let me say this. I know you have some other things to say about Crowded House, but in terms of these performances on BBC Two, I would love when they're all done, could it be available on streaming on Apple Music or Spotify or maybe a CD release or vinyl? I think it would be a great idea.
Yeah, I have no idea what they're planning on doing. And I think you can only hear the full shows for a certain period of time. So I don't know. Somebody who lives in the UK, tell us what's going on with BBC Two. There was also big news this week about Crowded House. They have a new record coming out May 31st. I'm so excited for that. And the official video for Ojai was released, and I am so obsessed with it. It is so cute. Joe, I made you watch it. I think you said you thought it was cute, too.
I did. I expected you to say something along the lines of it was creepy or you didn't like the special effects that were used. I feel like Crowded House gets a pass in your eyes when it comes to certain things, and that's fine.
No, I thought it was well done. Like, I think it might be creepy in different contexts. If you haven't seen it, folks, it's Neil Finn's head that's been kind of superimposed on the body of a small child who is dancing around and on the street and doing lots of crazy stuff. And I thought that the child, their dancing was so fun and it just went together well. Yeah, you're right. There's probably a little bit of me giving a pass, but I also thought it was very cute. So check that out if you haven't seen it yet. And one quick tidbit to report on my other boo, Billy Joel.
It's a big week for you.
I know. They announced that on April 14th, he is going to be having a special on CBS. It's actually not even recorded yet. This concert is going to be recorded on March 28th, and it is going to be his 100th consecutive performance at Madison Square Garden. March 28th, the concert will happen, and then a couple weeks later on Sunday, April 14th, it's going to air on CBS.
And it's his first televised concert on broadcast television, on a broadcast network, I should say.
I thought that was really interesting. I'm surprised at that. It seems like he's been around for so long that he should have been doing stuff like this for a while. Yeah, so that will be fun. And even if you're not a fan of Billy Joel, I think this would be worth checking out just to get a flavor of what he's doing. And
I'll watch it if Olivia Rodrigo shows up.
She might. She just might. Okay, well, that's all the tidbits.
Oh, I had a little tidbit.
Oh, please. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, we talked about Tracy Chapman popping up on the Hot 100 at number 42. Did you look at the charts this week? I didn't see her on there again.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so I guess 42 is as high as she's going to get this year. I mean, it was number 6 back in the day, right? So that's still pretty good. So no running up that hill for Tracy Chapman this year.
That's disappointing. I'm sure big things are coming for her.
Usher came back in at number 20 with Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yep. I thought you'd like that. I know you love Lil Jon.
For sure. I didn't even watch. Did you watch the Super Bowl performance?
Yes.
Oh, okay. What did you think of it?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you liked it.
Yes. Let's get to the main segment then, Carrie, because we dug back into Dave Kinzer's book, The 80s Music Compendium, to find some more long piano solos from songs in the 80s. And the first we're going to discuss is a song called I Wouldn't Beg for Water by Sheena Easton. This one has two different solos of 18 and 14 seconds long. This was a single from Sheena's third album called Madness, Money, and Music. That was released in 1982. She was coming off a Grammy win for Best New Artist, and she promoted the album by appearing in an hour-long special that appeared on NBC called Act One. Did you watch this whole thing, Carrie?
I didn't watch the whole thing.
You didn't watch the whole thing. Well, she basically just performs songs in between appearing in an extended skit where she pretends to be hosting The Tonight Show And it's really something.
Yeah, this is what I'm talking about when I say, like, I can't believe Billy Joel didn't do something like this back in the day. You know what I mean? It seemed like this was all the rage, that they would do these crazy specials like the Olivia Newton-John's Hollywood Nights, this one, the Pointer Sisters one.
But don't you think maybe someone came to Billy Joel and he was like, yeah, I ain't doing that.
Probably. You're probably right.
I didn't watch the whole thing, of course, but I just skipped through to see some things. You tried to get me to watch it on my own and learn that she performed with Al Jarreau. That was a pretty big segment they had together.
Yeah, it went on for a while.
She had Kenny Rogers on. They sang, of course, We've Got Tonight. Mm-hmm. Johnny Carson popped up at the end. Did you watch the very end? The last thing she says was like, well, thanks for watching. And if this is act one, I can't wait for act two.
Oh, Sheena. I did not watch that.
Sheena, there wasn't an act two.
Oh, Sheena.
I know. I felt really bad because you know how much I love Sheena.
Yeah.
Let's get back to I Wouldn't Beg for Water. Here's a clip of one of those piano solos. The song wasn't a pop hit for Sheena. It only made it to number 64, but it did reach number 19 on the Adult Contemporary chart. Carry the credits for the album say that the keyboards were performed by someone named Bias Boschel. Am I saying that right, do you think?
I don't know. I would have said Bias, but
Bias Boschel?
Yuck.
Wow.
Either way, what a name. Mm-hmm. Joe, I wouldn't beg for water. I don't understand. What is she saying?
Yeah, so I've seen the title, and I know I've heard this song before. I know I have, right? Mm-hmm. And I see the title, and I always think, huh, wonder what that means. Yeah. I should look into it, and I never did, but I get it now.
Oh, you do get it? Because
she says in the chorus, if I were on fire,
yes,
I wouldn't beg for water, but here I am on my knees, and I would beg for you.
Oh.
So she is just so in love with this man. She wouldn't beg for anything, but she's there to beg him to stay with her.
Okay. I was listening so hard trying to figure out what the connection was. I understood her saying, I wouldn't beg for water if my soul was on fire, but I could never get, why are you saying that in the context of this love song? It didn't make any sense, but I guess I missed all the stuff about her begging this person.
At first, I thought it's a little treckly. Is that the word?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I came around to it. But what you're saying is you wouldn't beg for, I wouldn't beg for water.
No, I think I probably was having like micro naps in the middle of the song. And that's why I wasn't making connections because I was trying to
this is not
like
the song to put on when you're fighting through, you know, fatigue.
Exactly. Well, I need to hijack this segment and talk about the other charting single from that album by Sheena, which is called Machinery. This is a song that I discovered through Charlie's, and it used to be every time it would come on, I would be like, who is this? I love this. And then I would be shocked when I looked and saw it was Sheena. Well, now I know it's her, and every time I hear it, I'm like, this is my jam. When I see reflection deep in his eyes, I know he's got the power. This one only made it to number 57 on the Hot 100, but it squeaked into the top 40 across the pond, peaking at number 38. Have we talked about Machinery before?
I don't think so. Huh. I mean, not on the podcast. I think we've talked about it in real life.
That's what I mean.
But recently we talked about Devil in a Fast Car.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think she has a lot of, and Do It for Love is a great one. I think she has a lot of deeper hits that I think get overlooked.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel like she started out strong. She had that show in the UK, you know, that made her a superstar.
Yeah.
And she had this special. I feel like she did everything right, but I don't know. I just feel like she's not. We should have had her on Unsung Heroes when we used to do that segment, remember?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she had a weird career. It's insane to think that these two songs were on the same album. They're so incredibly different. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, maybe that was the problem. Maybe she really was all over the place when you think about her earlier peppy Goody Two Shoes pop hits. And then she kind of crossed over to the dark side.
She did a little bit. You know, that was what was so crazy about the second half of the decade is that she wasn't even like credited on that Prince hit. You know, she should have been having such a big resurgence. And I don't think much came of that. I don't know.
We'll have to get into it.
We'll have to do a deep dive into Sheena. Yeah.
Well, we're going to get back to the long piano solos. And here's one from one of the biggest artists of the 70s, One to One by Carole King. She's possibly the most successful female songwriter of all time. She wrote or co-wrote 118 Hot 100 hits and also 61 hits that charted in the UK. Her breakthrough as a performer came in 1971 with the album Tapestry, which was number one on the album chart for 15 weeks and stayed on the chart for almost 6 years. By 1982, her fame had faded and her 12th album, One to One, peaked only at number 119 on the album chart. The title track has a piano solo of 18 seconds that opens the song.
If I am the question, you are the answer. If you are the music, I am the dancer. All of the madness and all of the sadness of day-to-day.
It's not entirely clear who's playing that particular solo, since both Carole and Reese Wynans are credited with acoustic piano on the track. Carole co-wrote the song with another hugely successful female songwriter, Cynthia Weil. One to One peaked at number 20 on the AC chart, but it missed the top 40 pop chart, peaking at number 45, and it was Carole's final Hot 100 hit.
Joe, what's your relationship with Carole King?
We're cool. She was in Gilmore Girls, so she'll always have a place in my heart just for that. But you talking about music-wise?
Yes.
Well, who doesn't like Tapestry? I'm afraid if I said I didn't, you know, I'd hear sirens in the distance getting closer.
Did your parents have it, and did they play it for you, like, when you were younger?
No. No, and I'm probably unique in that regard. I feel like everyone else had a childhood like that, but... What? I'm sure yours did.
No, I don't.
They didn't?
Well, if they did have Tapestry, I don't remember it. In the 90s, when Murphy Brown, do you remember when she gave birth and then Natural Woman, You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman? Didn't they play Carole King's version instead of Aretha Franklin?
I mean, what we are saying is ringing all kinds of bells. Like, I feel like you're right, but I can't verify.
Long story short, that's when I first became aware of Carole King. For some reason, that song, and then like, there's an original version by Carole King, and that's when I think I listened to Tapestry for the first time.
Yeah, I think you're right. I really do.
Tapestry, yes, is a classic album, but I probably have never listened to any other album by her. And the songs that she wrote in the 50s and 60s, those are amazing, you know, One Fine Day and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, she's just before my time, I guess, is the point. And this one is fine, but it doesn't inspire me to dig any further.
Yeah, it's not my favorite. I can't believe I didn't write this down, but when she started singing, I thought it was someone else. Oh, I shouldn't have even brought it up because I don't remember. I'll try to issue a correction in a later episode.
Let's move on to a song with a 17-second piano solo, Ribbon in the Sky by Stevie Wonder. Like One to One, this is also a solo that opens the track. It was one of four new songs featured on Stevie's 1982 Greatest Hits album called Stevie Wonder's Original Musiquarium 1. Of course, that's Stevie playing the piano.
Oh, so long for this night. stars would guide you my way.
He's also playing the drums and the synth on the track, but he let Benjamin Bridges play the acoustic guitar. The song hit 3 different charts, reaching 54 pop, 21 adult contemporary, and number 10 on the R&B. It has become a classic and was named one of the 25 best slow jams of all time by Essence magazine in 2009. Stevie also sang this song at Whitney Houston's funeral in 2012 with new lyrics about Whitney. Here's a clip of that.
He allowed you to touch our arms, and you did from the very start.
That was so sweet. Yeah, he just had all these lyrics about Whitney. It was so beautiful just that he took the time to do that. Just amazing.
Yep, it was a great performance.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you again. What's your relationship with Stevie Wonder?
He'll always have a special place in my heart because he appeared on The Cosby Show in that one episode.
God.
Gave us the classic phrase that Theo said, jamming on the ones,
yes,
right?
Yes, of course, of course.
I will tell you, I didn't seek out or own any music by him mm-hmm. in the 80s or 90s, but I never wished him any ill will. No, I'm joking. And when I listened to Magic 108 in the 90s, there was an R&B group called Intro that covered the song Ribbon in the Sky that was popular. So I was like, well, if this is the cover, I got to hear the original. And somehow I don't know how I got it, but I listened to that version a lot and I loved it.
Oh, wow. I love that.
I love this song.
When I was listening to this song this week, every time it would start, I just felt this feeling of my childhood, which I know sounds insane to say. I even asked my mom, did you listen to Stevie Wonder a lot when I was a kid? And she's like, no, I don't think so. There's something about Stevie Wonder and something about this song in particular that really pulled at my heartstrings this week. I don't know what it was, but yeah, this is a beautiful song. I'm surprised by this 25 best slow jams only because I think of when someone says slow jams, I think
something you can have sex to.
Yeah. And I'm like, that's not really what this vibe is about. I mean, it's a slow song for sure. But anyways, yeah, this is a beautiful one. And I think that Dave Kintzer there must have been like a single version because there were like a bunch of different piano solos in the version we listened to.
Wow, calling him out. Let's see you, Carrie. Let's see you write a book.
Sorry. Sorry to that man.
Carrie, this episode is filled with icons because next up is Elton John with his song Healing Hands. Elton plays a 17-second solo on the song, which was the first single from his 1989 album, Sleeping with the Past. He and Bernie Taupin were inspired specifically by soul music in creating that album, and Healing Hands also drew from gospel music to tell a redemption story about a relationship that had turned toxic. Elton looks to a higher power to heal him.
There's a light when a doctor says, touch me now, and let me see again.
Elton played a digital piano on this album instead of his regular acoustic piano, but there are two other gents credited with keyboards on the track, Guy Babylon, great name, and Fred Mendel, not so great. In the U.S., Healing Hands made it to 23 rock, 13 pop, and number 1 on the adult contemporary chart. Upon its first release in the U.K., it stalled out at 45, but later was released again as a double A-side with the song Sacrifice, and it became Elton's first solo number 1 in the U.K. What?
Yeah.
He ruled the charts in the U.S. from the 70s and 80s.
You're correct, but I guess
I'm always we talk about 70s being my blind spot, but I'm always mm-hmm. so shocked when Casey Kasem will say, like, a listener wants to know who had the most number ones, and whatever the question is, he's always like, it's a British piano man, uh-huh. you know, and it's always Elton John. He ruled the uh-huh. album charts and the Hot 100.
Yeah, that's why I found this so insane. He did hit number one with Kiki D on Don't Go Breaking My Heart in the UK, but never on his own before this. Which
well,
is...
I mean, come on. That's Kiki D is not doing the heavy lifting there, right?
That's true. But yes, Healing Hands is a song that I have very fond memories of. I had this tape back in the day, Sleeping with the Past. I had that. But I was thinking about it. I think I won it on the radio. I called in and won a prize on KZIO, which was our local pop station. And I got like a 6-pack of cassette tapes. And I remember Sleeping with the Past was one of them. And the other one I remember was U2's Zootopia. Did that come out?
What? That was like 92.
Well, whichever.
Was it Rattle and
No,
Hum?
It was Achtung Baby. It was Achtung Baby.
Oh, yeah, yes. Yeah. Sorry, Zootopia was...
Yeah, you're right. That was later. So anyways, I very much enjoyed this song back in the day.
This is the first time hearing of this radio contest.
It was just one of those things where it was like, be the 10th caller and you win a prize. I didn't even know what they were going to be. I went to pick them up. And I think I already had Achtung Baby, so I gave that to someone. So we're talking about Healing Hands, and yes, I love this song.
I do too. You know, here's what I want to say about it is I find some of Elton John's more up-tempo songs, I don't know if I want to say aggressive or cloying, but there's just something about him that doesn't quite sound right to me. But I feel like he does it so right on this one.
I think I understand what you're saying. He maybe has a tendency to go over the top a little. And this one is very modulated. You understand the theme of it, and it's a great kind of like gospel type song. But at the same time, he's not being too bombastic.
Think about like Flames of Paradise and I Don't Want to Go On With You Like That. I feel like they're a little brash. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's a good word. Yeah.
And this is calm, but it's still up-tempo.
Yes. I also love how canonically in pursuant to this song, God is a woman. So I enjoy that.
Yeah.
Finally, by T.G. Shepherd. That's the name of the song, not the last song we are covering today. It has a solo of 16 seconds. And who the heck is T.G. Shepherd, you ask? I always want to say T.J. Well, I asked the same question, and here's what I can tell you. He was born William Browder and ran away from home as a teenager to Memphis to try and make it as a country singer. He recorded some singles, but then became a record executive with RCA. He signed a deal with a different record label in 1974, and he used the name T.G. Shepherd so as not to jeopardize his job with RCA. His first single hit number one on the country chart, and he would eventually have 14 number ones on that chart, including Finally. Like 6 of his other singles, Finally also crossed over to the Hot 100.
Wish my mind wouldn't argue with my heart. It splits the day apart. And a time well spent and time just thrown away. I wish my heart would please make up my mind.
It peaked at 58 in 1982 and also made it to 17 Adult Contemporary. There's several different men credited with keyboards for the album, so it's unclear which one is featured on this track. I hope it's Hargis Pig Robbins, because that name just rules.
Wow.
I know. T.G. continued to hit the country chart until the early 90s, and oh my God, Joe, he has 2 movie credits listed on his wiki page, and one of them is Twice Upon a Time.
Oh my God, we're going to have to watch that movie, aren't we? It's happening.
I don't know. I will tell you, when I saw that, I just felt I had gone insane. I was right. Like, there's no way.
So there's a double feature when you visit. It's Twice Upon a Time and Rock and Roll Mum.
I will only watch the dirty version of Twice Upon a Time.
Of course. Yeah.
We've said many times before, I'm not a country connoisseur, But I also was really shocked that I've never heard of this person before. I mean, if he had 14 number ones on the country chart, it just seems I would have at least heard of his name. But I haven't. And this song, I'm not interested.
I mean, I don't know what to say about this, Carrie.
I guess maybe I would like to hear another song of his to hear if he sings like this all the time. But he's definitely one of those people that doesn't sound like he's singing. He sounds like he's kind of doing this a little bit, but it mostly sounds like talking. So yeah, this one was a dud.
Yeah. The piano solo, forget 16 seconds. It should have been 3 minutes long and no singing.
Yes.
Well, finally, and this is the last piano song we're going to cover today. It's Allies by Heart, which has two different solos. One is 15 seconds and the other is 11. I feel like they should combine those for this chart. Well, it was the second released single from Heart's seventh studio album, Passion Works. That one hit stores in 1983. Allies was written by Jonathan Cain of Journey, and that is David Page of Toto, guesting on piano and synth. First single from the album, How Can I Refuse, hit number one on the rock chart, and another song not released as a single hit that chart based on airplay, but Allies missed the rock chart and topped out at number 83 on the Hot 100. Heart's relationship with their label Epic was very poor at the time, and they believed Epic was not doing enough to promote them. Passion Works was their last album for that label, and they would make their big comeback after they signed to Capitol a couple years later. And I imagine they went back into Epic's office after that and did the monologue from Pretty Woman. Big mistake. Big. Huge. Big.
This song, I loved it.
Oh, it's so good. Have you not heard it before?
I have, 100%.
Okay, yeah, we play it on the attic. And the first time it came on there, I immediately grabbed my phone and I was like, what is this? Why have I never heard this before? Mm-hmm. I love it. I also had to look because I couldn't understand that they were saying allies. I thought they were saying at last. So I was Googling like at last song. No, not that one.
Yeah, I was interested to learn that Jonathan Cain of Journey wrote this. It definitely sounds like something he would write. The song should have been a huge rock hit.
I could see why it wasn't on the rock chart. You know what I mean? It's a little softer than How Can I Refuse?
I guess at the time, but this is the kind of stuff that Heart would be doing the same exact thing at the end of the decade and hitting the rock chart with it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
So anyways, yeah, this is definitely a lost classic everyone needs to put on their playlist.
Cosign. That's it for the piano songs, and I guess that's it for the whole episode, huh?
Nope, we have got some more, Joe. We have got a quiz!
Oh, Carrie, I told you I'm not feeling my 100% today.
I'm sorry, Joe, but we got to do it because we have a very special edition of the quiz this week. So why don't you play the intro clip?
This is Carrie. I am here with my husband, Nick. It's his first time appearing on the podcast, and he is going to help us this week with our quiz. So, Nick, say hi.
Hi.
You are going to hear in real time Nick asking me the questions, and then Joe will answer, and then you'll hear the answer that I gave. So here we go. It's day 7 of MTV The Early Years.
Carrie, this is highly unorthodox, but I'll allow it.
I'm trying to give you a flavor of what
I love
like.
It. Yeah. You know what? Hey, I'll take anything you can give me to help me out in this quiz series.
Okay, so listen to question 1.
Sting received co-writing credit for the Dire Straits song Money for Nothing because he borrowed the melody of what Police song in his vocals on the line I Want My MTV.
My answer now?
Yes.
My answer is Don't Stand So Close to Me. Now let me play yours.
Yep, now you get to play my answer. Oh my God, I know this, but it's escaping me for some reason. He goes, I want my MTV. So what Police song is that? Oh, I'm like going through all the Police songs in my mind. I'm vacillating between Wrapped Around Your Finger and King of Pain. And it's maybe neither of those, but I'm going to say Wrapped Around Your Finger.
Oh my God.
It's Don't Stand So Close to Me.
Oh my God. Of course it is. Oh God. Okay. Right.
I don't like that you're delighting so much.
Carrie, I'm loving this new format.
I don't know why I couldn't get that, but yep. So Joe has one and I have zero.
All right. All right. So, question two.
What song had the lyrics, "We're no strangers to love, you know the rules and so do I, a full commitment's what I'm thinking of, you wouldn't get this from any other guy"?
I just want to tell you how I feel. My answer is Never Gonna Give You Up by Rick Astley.
All right. I guess you got to see if that's right or not.
Oh, please. You're going to get it.
That is Rick Astley's Never Gonna Give You Up.
Wow.
Correct.
All right. You got that one.
On to question three.
Name the two hosts of the first MTV Video Music Awards in 1984.
My answer is Dan Aykroyd and Bette Midler.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
I know this because we covered it on the podcast. It is Dan Aykroyd and Bette Midler.
Correct.
We've learned something from this podcast, Joe.
I remember from the book, I Want My MTV.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Which was also the first question, really.
Yes.
Ooh.
Okay, so I'm just going to read question four because it is just, this is a still frame from the video for what song? And I have to cut and paste the picture for you.
It's Come On Eileen by Dexy's Midnight Runners.
All right, you got to play A4 to hear if you're right. That is from Come On Eileen by Dexy's Midnight Runners.
Correct.
Correct, he says. All right, question five.
Jenny McCarthy was not the first MTV personality to have posed nude in Playboy magazine before appearing on the channel. Who was?
I hate when people talk out their answers on shows like this, but I know Nina Blackwood had some pictures taken before, but I wouldn't say she like posed for Playboy because of that, right? So I'm going to say Carmen Electra.
Listen to A5. Oh, I think I remember this from the VJ book.
No way.
That Nina Blackwood, when she was in college, I think, posed for Playboy. So my answer is Nina Blackwood.
Correct.
Oh, no way.
Why would you think she did? I don't know. If you thought that in your head, I don't know why you wouldn't have just said her.
Because I feel like when Madonna took nude pictures in like college, right? Yeah. I wouldn't say she posed for Penthouse or whoever published them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. But I think, Nina Blackwood specifically talked about how she posed for Playboy. We're up to question six.
What song's lyrics describe what happens when a foreign country's military misinterprets a bunch of inflatable bags as an attack and sets off a nuclear war?
99 Luft Balloons. Clicking A6.
I've never heard balloons referred to as inflatable bags, but the answer is 99 Red Balloons or 99 Luft Balloons.
Correct.
We both got it.
Mm-hmm. So after six questions, we are tied 5-5. Question number seven. This is a still frame from the video for what song?
Oh, looks to me like Down Under by Men at Work.
Mm-hmm.
And Carrie guessed In Excess, Falling Down the Mountain, maybe?
Okay, well, it's definitely Men at Work. And I think that's the video for Down Under.
Correct.
Correct. He says Q8.
Name the British journalist who served as longtime regular host of the late night alternative music series 120 Minutes.
I gotta tell you, I can't think of anyone but Matt Penfield, and it's gonna upset me when I hear your answer, but here we go.
Oh my goodness. His name was Dave something. Gosh, I can't believe I don't remember this. I used to watch it all the time, tape it at least. Is his name Dave something?
You can't ask that.
Gosh darn it. All right, you see how long this is taking me. I'm thinking it's like Dave something. I don't know. Dave Morgan.
Dave Kendall.
Oh, God.
Ooh.
We were looking for Dave Kendall.
Carrie, so close.
I was. I hated that.
Question 9.
What video begins with Ronald Reagan going to bed and then portrays a series of dreams within his head, which include the former president riding a monoclonous dinosaur while wearing a Superman cape and Pope John Paul II playing guitar? Monoclonal?
I don't know what else it could be other than Land of Confusion by Genesis.
Who knows? But that's got to be Land of Confusion.
Correct. I wonder if I was saying that word right.
I have no idea.
Well, I want to do a professional job, you know.
You know, when I said the answer and I guessed it, I probably have never watched that whole video because it scared me. I probably like changed the channel or closed my eyes, right?
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah.
Question 10.
You are a disgusting slob. Are you listening to me? What do you want to do with your life? This is an excerpt of dialogue from the intro to a classic early 80s music video. What is the young boy's response to this question?
My guess is, I want to rock.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, this is from We're Not Gonna Take It by Twisted Sister. But what does he say? I think he says, I want to rock.
Correct.
Okay.
And I get an additional 1 point for flavor. Question 11 we're on.
Mm-hmm.
This omnipresent band on MTV in the 80s was named after the villain in Barbarella.
Duran Duran.
That is Duran Duran.
Correct.
Final question.
The following are lyrics from what song? Loving would be easy if your colors were like my dream. Red, gold, and green. Red, gold, and green.
Oh, please. Karma Chameleon.
That is Karma Chameleon.
Correct.
I can't catch up to you.
You can. So we both went 5 for 5 in that second set. So 10 points out of 12 overall for both of us. I am sitting at 38. You are sitting at 34. We still got at least 36 points left.
I guess you need to brush up on your police songs and I should brush up on my pornography.
Yes, exactly.
Well, here is one last quick segment with Nick. Thanks, Nick.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Birdie.
Yes, thank you, Nick. That was a fun addition to the ongoing quiz series. I loved it.
Yeah, that was fun. We had some good times. That's it for this week.
What's coming up next?
Next week, we are going to have a birthday bash. Going to celebrate some birthdays of 80s folks. And yeah, it's going to be good. I already looked at the first person and found some very interesting information. So I can't wait to share that.
That's a tease.
Yeah.
Who is it? You can tell me. No. Nope. We can cut it out.
No.
You're not going to tell me?
Okay, no, I'm not. Because I don't want you looking for it. I want to surprise you. Anything else this week, Joe?
Nope. I think that we covered it all.
All right. Well, I will take us out then. I'll say be good to the world, be good to animals, be good to your husband.
Be good to mama, and when mama's good to you.
Most importantly, be good to yourself.
Yes. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
So what's the one conclusion I could bring this number?
number 2 when you're good to mama.